Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Good morning, everyone. It is so very, very good to see you. I just want to look at you for a few minutes. You've been looking at me for 7 weeks, but I haven't been able to look at you. And you got the wrong end of that deal. I'm convinced of that. But it is so good to be together. Some of us are here in body and we're together in this building. We are also very glad, though, to be with all of our brothers and sisters and friends who are here in spirit. They're joining us on Facebook Live this morning. And so we have our praise team up here because it's been really helpful for folks watching that online to see some faces as we worship. And so we're going to try to do everything we can to make it a good experience here in the building and a good experience online so that we can all together, unified in the Spirit of God, worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose for which we are here today, is to worship God. It's really, there's a lot of things on our minds this morning. There's a lot of things on my mind, being back together and everything that goes along with that. It's also Mother's Day, and so we say a very blessed and happy Mother's Day to all of you moms, and we're grateful for you. But the reason we're here and the reason we are so glad to be here is we get to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And we sing a song, we're going to sing it as we end today, called We've Come This Far by Faith. And I tell you, that has almost become an anthem for us. We walk around our house singing that song. We were singing it in the car this weekend because we have come this far. We have come through this season and we have come through by faith. Amen. I talked to Justin Cardwell, by the way. This is completely an aside, but it has to do with saying amen. Justin, at their church, they have been doing a parking lot service where people sit in their cars and listen to him preach. And so I asked him, how did they honk if they really thought he had a good point for their amen? So I want y'all to do some honking this morning, okay? Too much of what has been going on right now is about COVID-19, but this morning it's about our King Jesus. We're going to sing about him. We're going to pray through him. We're going to read his words. We're going to remember him in our supper. We're going to hear about him from our word. Those are the things we always do when we get together. And my purpose in preaching this morning is the same purpose that Paul had when he wrote to the Christians in Colossae. He said, he was writing, and this morning I preach because I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged in heart, and I want you to be united in love so that you may understand the full riches that are yours in Christ. That's what Paul said, and that's what I say this morning. And I'm going to start a new series from Ephesians chapter 1 called In Christ, Richly Blessed. Now, there's a woman that you've probably never heard of. Her name was Hetty Green. She's probably the richest person you've never heard of. She was the richest woman in the United States in the late 1800s. In today's monetary values, she would have been a billionaire. Incredibly, incredibly rich woman named Hetty. She was not only the richest woman in the United States, she was also, according to Guinness World Book of Records, the greatest miser in the United States. She was fabulously rich, but she lived like she was fabulously poor. She never, ever turned in the heat in her multiple homes. And she never had any hot water because she wanted to save money. She didn't want to buy soap, and so she wore the same black dress over and over and over and over for years and years because she didn't want to buy soap to wash the dress. She drove a really old and dilapidated carriage. She never owned any office space. She would go to the lobby of her bank where she banked, and she would set up a card table and open up her briefcase and lay out all her tables, and she would do all her business in somebody else's establishment because she didn't want to spend money on an office. One time she had a hernia, but she would not have the surgery for it because it cost $150 and she just wasn't going to spend it. And she determined that what was good for her was also good for her family. Her son broke his leg. She refused to take him to the doctor. He finally convinced her he really needed to go, and she went to a free clinic They knew who she was, and they wouldn't serve her because she had the money to pay. So she took him back home, and his leg eventually had to be amputated. She had all of that money, but she was a miser. She was miserable. And she died from a stroke after having a heated argument with her maid because she had not watered down the milk enough. Miserable. She was incredibly rich, but lived a miserable life. And there's no reason for any of us to be like Hetty Green, because we are rich beyond imagination. We are wealthy beyond imagination. We are richly blessed with the blessings that we have, with the gifts that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life is overflowing this morning in riches because you are in Christ. And so I'm glad that you're here in body. I'm glad that you're here in spirit. And I hope that you will be here for the next 7 weeks as we explore Ephesians chapter 1 and remember how we are richly blessed in Jesus Christ. Let's continue to worship. Well, as we said, over the next 7 weeks, we're going to spend some time in Ephesians chapter 1. I'll encourage you just to read that over and over and let that passage sink in and soak in. And Paul really just overflows in the first part of Ephesians chapter 1. In the original Greek in which it was written, it is one long run-on sentence. And all the English teachers everywhere would have red ink marking that thing up. But the Holy Spirit, it was almost just like as Paul was filled with the Spirit, as he was inspired to write, he just couldn't stop writing. And he just went on and on and on talking about how much we are richly blessed in Jesus Christ. I want you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will and to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. In Christ. Over and over and over and over in that passage, it says in Christ. And over it says to the praise of his glory. Over and over it says riches, and we're blessedly rich, and we've been lavished with riches. One of the things that makes that sentence, that sentiment, even more powerful to me is to know where Christ was, to know where Paul was when he wrote those words. Because Paul was sitting in a prison cell. He even says over in chapter 6 that he was in chains. Shane last week talked about Paul and Silas, and about the fact that at midnight they were in prison and they were praising God. Well, Paul, maybe this is what they were singing. I've never even thought about that, but maybe this is what they were singing. Because Paul in prison writes these beautiful words about how richly blessed. And I don't know, but maybe for the first time in your life, you might be able to understand a little bit more about what prison is like. Some of us have felt a little bit like we have been incarcerated for the last 7 or 8 weeks. Some of us have felt like we have been isolated as we have sheltered in place, if we have been restricted in our movement, restricted in where we can go. And it's not just been a physical isolation, a physical imprisonment, but it's been an emotional one and a social one as well. I mean, social distancing. It's been awkward this morning to me because it's not right when the people of God get together that we don't get to express our love. I mean, from the very beginning, Christians expressed their love for each other with a holy kiss. I'm going to start doing that. We weren't made for isolation. Mask, while maybe necessary or a hindrance to communication, it blocks us off from each other. I can't see your face or read your face as you talk and share. I miss your smiles. And so I think that maybe we can relate to Paul as a prisoner in a way that we have never done before. And as your preacher, I have literally begged the Lord for wisdom and insight in how to speak to you over these last 7 weeks that we have been separated from each other. And I found myself going back and forth, literally almost week from week, going back and forth between preaching what I would call missional sermons and preaching what I would call pastoral sermons. Because I wanted to continue to remind you and remind myself that no matter what is going on in the world, no matter the COVID-19 virus or not, we have a mission in Christ that we're to accomplish. We're to be disciples who are making disciples. And this is the best time to be doing that kind of thing. And so I found myself preaching that kind of sermon 1 week. But the next week I wanted to speak to you as a pastor and speak about the valleys that we're living in and the Saturdays that we are going through. It's been a real tension that I have felt and I've struggled and I've prayed through. But in the end, the best way that I know to offer help to you in whatever situation you're in, but to all of us in this situation, is to do what Paul did when he was in prison. And that's to remind you of your identity in Christ and your circumstances in Christ and your location in Christ. I want to talk about Christ in whatever situation we're in. And so this morning I want us just to do a reality check. Because doctors have some things to say to you right now about the reality that we live in. And politicians have a lot to say to you right now about the reality that we live in. And the media has a lot to say to you right now about the reality that we live in. But the Lord Jesus has some things to say to us this morning about the reality that we live in. And the reality for us, as we're going to see in a few minutes, is in the heavenly places, in the spiritual realm. So we're going to see it from Ephesians chapter 1. And the first thing in this reality check is to talk about our identity. When someone asks you who you are, how do you identify yourself? Paul begins in Ephesians 1 verse 1 and says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Who is Paul? What is Paul's identity? Earlier in his life, Paul would have had a long list. In fact, in Philippians, he gives us this long list of who he was before Jesus. He was Saul, actually. He wasn't Paul. And he was a Hebrew, and he was from the tribe of Benjamin, and he was a Pharisee, and the list goes on and on. But Jesus Christ so changed Paul's life that his entire identity was changed and transformed in Christ Jesus. His name was changed. He went from belonging to the people of Israel to belonging to the people of Jesus. He went from being a destroyer of churches to a builder of churches. He went from being a persecutor of Christians to being a nurturer of Christians. And so if you ask Paul who he was, Paul could not and would not answer you without talking about Jesus Christ, because his identity was so wrapped up in Christ. And so he says, "I'm an ambassador of Jesus." It's all about his relationship to Jesus. And over and over and over, he's going to use those two words, that he is in Christ. And so, what is your identity? Who are you? When people ask that, how do you answer? What's your list? Do you give your name? Do you give where you work? Do you give your relationship to other people? We joke because Brent and JP say they're always, oh, you're Ken Holsbury's son. I had an experience the other day where someone said, oh, you're JP's father. Why are you clapping about that? We have an identity that's not just who we are, but it's in relation to other people around us. And folks, our relationship that matters the most, that identifies us more than anything else, that transforms who we are, is our relationship in Christ. And I hope that as we unwrap these gifts, these incredible gifts that we have in Christ, we will begin more and more and more to see ourselves, to experience ourselves by our relationship with Jesus, that our identity will be wrapped up in Him, that nothing will define us like being in Christ. And those two words, again, they're used over and over in Scripture. I think about 200 times in Scripture, in Christ. Now, sometimes there's also where it talks about not just that we are in Christ, but that Christ is in us, and that's a reality as well. But the one that the Bible talks about most is that we are in Christ. We are hidden in Him. And if we are in Christ, that means that our identity is wrapped up in Him. It means that we are experiencing everything through Him. It means that we are seeing things from the perspective of Christ. That we are going through things from the perspective of Christ. And so if we are viewing everything from in Christ, then everything is going to look different. And it did for Paul. And so his first word is praise. His first word is praise. His first word from prison is praise. And so let that be the first words out of our mouth every morning when we get up. Let that be the first words out of our mouth when people ask us how we're doing or what's going on. Because we are in Christ, we can praise. We can glorify God. So when someone asks, don't start talking about the virus. Don't start talking about the economy. Don't start talking about sheltering in place. Don't start talking about any of that stuff. Just start talking about how richly blessed you are in Christ. So, our identity. Another reality check we want to do this morning is our circumstances. What are our circumstances in Christ? Because as I said, Paul writes the letter in chains, in a prison cell. But that's not how he sees his circumstances. Even when Paul describes himself as a prisoner, he does not say he's a prisoner of Rome. He says, I'm a prisoner of Christ. I'm a prisoner for Christ. And so, circumstances are going to always try to define us. Our circumstances, what we are experiencing, has a powerful effect in defining who we are. Some folks let a divorce define them. Some folks let losing a job define them. Some folks let a death define them or an addiction define them. A disease right now is really trying to define us. But whatever circumstances you are going through, don't let that circumstance define you. See, the Holy Spirit through Paul is reminding us that our circumstance is in Christ. Lots of other things can be happening around us. Lots of other things can be happening to us. But our circumstance in which we find ourselves is that we are in Christ. Because no circumstance can change that reality. No circumstance can take anything away from Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? There is no circumstance that can take anything away from Jesus. Now, we can say yes to that one. But what becomes equally true is that if I am in Christ, then no circumstance can take what He's given me away from me. Because He is the one who is holding it together. So there's not a blessing or a gift that we have that anybody or anything can take away from Jesus or those who are in Jesus. And one of the things, though, that we're learning right now is just because we're in Christ doesn't mean bad things are not going to happen to us. Just because we're in Christ doesn't mean that we won't suffer or that things will not change and go against us. In Christ, we're still going to suffer because Christ suffered. We're still going to hurt because Jesus hurt. We're still going to face persecution and adversity because Jesus himself faced all of those things. But just as no circumstance Christ ever faced had the ability to destroy him, no circumstance you face will ever have the ability to destroy you as long as you are in Christ. And so the third reality is your location. Your identity, your circumstances, and your location are all wrapped up in Christ. If I ask you where you are right now, you could answer, well, I am in the Family Life Center, or I'm at 10th and Broad, or you could answer, well, I'm in my living room, or I'm in my kitchen, or you could answer, well, I'm in Wichita Falls, or I'm in Texas, or I'm on the planet Earth. That's our location. But Paul makes it very clear to us that there is another place where we are located. He calls it the heavenly realms. He calls it the spiritual realms. Verse 3, praise be to God, our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. See, the location of all the blessings and gifts that we have are in the heavenly realms. In the heavenly realms are as real as the earthly realms. The spiritual realm is as real as the physical realm. And in Ephesians 2, Paul's going to talk about this again. He's going to use that phrase when he is talking about our salvation by grace through faith. He says, because of God's great mercy and love for us, he has saved us. And then he says this in chapter 2, God raised us up with Christ and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ. So God saves us, he raises us up with Christ, and he seats us with Christ in the heavenly realms. Did you know that right now, if you are in Christ, you are not seated just here, but you are seated in the heavenly realms right now? You can reach down and feel the chair that you are sitting in. As real as that chair is, so is the seat in which you are seated in the heavenly realms. It's real. It's true. It's in Christ. It is more real than anything we are experiencing here, because Hebrews tells us that things here are in reality just a copy and a shadow of the real things that are in heaven. And so when we understand and experience and live the reality and the blessing and the riches of being in Christ, then our identity is changed and our circumstances no longer have the same effect on us. And even our location is different, because this is no longer our home. We are merely passing through until God restores all things again in Christ. It makes everything a reality. And we'll live for eternity, forever and ever and ever, experiencing that reality of the heavenly places and the spiritual realm. And so it's real. It's true. And Christ is seated there because he's already done the work. He did the work of salvation on the cross. And so he's seated. He has nothing more to do to save us. And you are seated because you have done the work. Jesus taught in John that the work that you need to do is to believe in him. And when you believe in him, when you give your life to him, when you confess him, when you do all those things we read about in Scripture of what people do when they come to a place where they want to give their life to Jesus Christ, when you believe in him, you are seated with him. And you're in him forever. No one can take that away. No one can remove you. We're in Christ. It's a good place to be. And I hope and pray that again, over these next weeks, you'll come to understand that as real as everything you're experiencing tomorrow and next Friday, that you'll experience that in Christ. That you'll understand how rich, how richly blessed you are. That we have our identity in Christ. That our circumstances are for Christ. Our location is with Christ. Because it's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus. And you're rich. And you are rich. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about all the blessings we're going to read about. You're rich in Christ because he became poor. I'm rich because he became poor. All the riches that are in the heavenly places have been his forever. And yet he loved us so much that he left them. He gave them up. He emptied himself of all that was rightly his. He made himself nothing. He did it willfully. No one forced him. No one took it away. He freely gave it up because of his love for you. And I mean you and you and you and you. And he wants us to be with him forever. And he wants us to experience being richly blessed. And so we're going to stop this morning and give thanks to Jesus for the sacrifice that he made, so that we could be in Christ and richly blessed. If you have at home, if you have communion you want to share with us, if you're here in the room, there's communion in front of you. I want to read to you from the Word of God, and then I'm going to say one prayer, and you can just take the bread and you can take the cup. We want to give thanks to Jesus. We want to give thanks that we are in Christ. He had equal status with God, but he did not think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of his status. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and he took on the status of a slave. He became a human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He never claimed any special privileges. Instead, he lived selfless. He lived obedient. And he died selfless and obedient. Even obedient to death on a cross. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks this morning that we are in Christ, that we are hidden in Christ, that we are clothed with Christ, that we are united with Christ, that he is our life, he is our love, he is our joy, he is our purpose, he is our identity, and he is our circumstances, and he is our location. Jesus, you gave up all of those things. You gave up your identity. You gave up your circumstances. You gave up your location. And you did it because you so loved us. And then you gave up your very life. And you gave up your very blood. And all those who call on your name can be saved. So we call on your name this morning as we take this bread and we take this cup. We say thank you that we are richly blessed. Amen.